The gynecologic oncology group study, fortunately, there were no GI perforations in that study. The subsequent sort of confirmatory phase 2 study was actually stopped early by a data safety monitoring board because there were 5 GI perforations seen in 44 patients. It's an 11% GI perforation rate. It's a small number of patients, so trying to tease out the exact cause, one question was that in patients who were responding? You know, is their tumor just melting away and now they have a necrotic bowel wall? It did not seem to be in patients who were responding. It did seem to be more common in patients who had sort of that ileus, not quite complete small bowel obstruction, but partial small bowel obstruction, obstipation, ileus kind of picture beforehand. And you can imagine that maybe there's a greater metabolic demand of the bowel wall in that type of a situation, and that somehow interfering with the vasculature may cause the bowel wall to break down. Now, it's true that in ovarian cancer, we actually don't commonly see bowel perforation spontaneously. We do see fistula formation, and that really may be almost an equivalent of bowel perforation. So when we're doing these studies with bevacizumab, we try to look at both bowel perforation and fistula formation because they may be part of the same process. It's probably not, although some women with their initial surgery for ovarian cancer will have bowel resection, it probably isn't that because almost every colon cancer patient has had a bowel resection, and they don't have that same rate of GI perforation. When we went through the CTEP database of kind of all the trials of bevacizumab in ovarian cancer, it looked like the bowel perforation rate was around 4, or a little, maybe closer, between 4 and 5%. And in other diseases, colon cancer and breast cancer, it's probably closer to 2%. So we certainly saw more in that one trial, and it certainly is a concern for us. We have designed the studies of bevacizumab for newly diagnosed patients, at least to date, the studies that we've talked about, to start the bevacizumab with the second cycle. So you have patients who've had a little more time to heal after their initial surgery, particularly if that included a bowel perforation. And potentially more importantly, if they're going to have a complication from surgery, you give them the time for that to declare itself before you start using bevacizumab. So I think that from a safety perspective is probably the best thing that we can do.